أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to the Good Life series. Today, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, I want to cover two very important topics. One of them is about current events. There are some things that happened which demand a response from us as believers. And then after that, I want to talk about one of the noble akhlaqi traits. This trait is so important, brothers and sisters, for us not only to implement and experience the miracle in our lives, but also to teach our children and those who are around us. If we fail to teach the trait that I'm trying to share with our children, there is a strong possibility that later in their marital lives, for instance, because they haven't learned this trait, they didn't learn it at home, they'll fail. It might be the relationship killer. If the person has this, you'll see how this can help a family to thrive, to move towards Allah together as a group. But if the person doesn't have that, in their interactions with other people, if someone has the trait that we're supposed to talk about tonight, then it's a pleasure for those who interact with them. Whether they're the people who interact with them on a daily basis, like our family, our husband, wife, children, parents, right? Those are people who interact with us on a daily basis, and those are mu'mineen, but they have greater rights over us than strangers. But what happens is sometimes it's easier to observe certain akhlaqi traits with strangers, but then with those who are closest to us, unfortunately, we're not able to observe those traits. So we need to learn this at home, and then we need to share this and make sure that our children have seen. This becomes a culture in our lives. So hopefully we can cover that as well. Those benefits are other than the spiritual and otherworldly effects of either having this trait, which inshallah we will all have, or if God forbid we don't have it, then the otherworldly effects are also a little scary. Not a little scary, very scary. So inshallah, we'll start first with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ajal farajah. So, brothers and sisters, January 20th marked the end of the shameful Trump administration. And for you and I, to me at least, and I think for all of us, I can say this, that, you know, we have in the verses of the Quran where it says, fa'tabiru, like take lessons from these things that are happening. We saw a man whose nafs was out of control. And then the facade and the corruption that this man wreaked because his nafs was just out of control. Why do we say fa'tabiru? Because you and I, if our nafs is out of control, we might be in a smaller area. We might have less people we're interacting with, but it's the same rule. I don't know if I'm going to remember the Arabic of the verse. It's in Surah Fajr, I believe, where God says this. He starts mentioning different peoples, different nations, and he mentions a principle. الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ Those people who did tughyan, their nafs was out of control, they're rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ And then the corruption that came out of these individuals was so terrible. But the urafa don't stop us, as believers, who are aware of our social and political responsibilities, to only point fingers and say, well, he was a monster. Believers learn, am I in any way someone who does tughyan? So, this man, remember in 2019, One of the shameful acts that he did was to put sanctions on Imam Khamenei. How do you, what goes through your mind? You don't get to put sanctions on a marja, let alone the face of Islam. That's not your place. You can't do that. But then, brothers and sisters, even towards the end of this disgraceful period, you see that even then he didn't stop. Just before he left, then he put Ansarullah in Yemen, the Houthis, they're fighting. There's one group that's leading. The Houthis are being led by Ansarullah. And then he put them on sanctions. And for you as a believer, you just look and you're like, how does this even happen? The right to self-defense. Who's the aggressor? Who attacked who? Who invaded who? The right to self-defense is universally recognized. The right to self-determination. Everybody has that right. But then Israel and Saudi Arabia, they attack. This is now the UN, the poorest nation in the Middle East. What the UN said was this. They said that if the fighting continues through 2022, Yemen will rank as the poorest nation in the world. So these people who are being beat down by the Israelis and by the Saudis, they're resisting, and then you put them on sanctions. But you see, this man was Pharaoh embodied. And that's what Fara'in do. They change the rules. Remember Pharaoh of old? Quran gives us part of his conversation. Brothers and sisters, if you look in Surah 20 and verse number 64, Pharaoh was giving a rule, setting a principle. The principle was going to be something that Musa alayhi salam, he would abide to. The sorcerers, they were abide to. These are the rules of engagement. He said, when he's sending the sorcerers out to fight Musa, he said, وَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. Whoever wins, that's it. You're this successful. Then the sorcerers lost, and they believed in Musa, and they accepted Nabi Musa, then suddenly Pharaoh's language changed. The rules changed. Well, that was the قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. What he said then to the sorcerers is again interesting. Surah 7, verse number 123. He says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَمَكْرٌ مَكَرْتُمُوهُ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. You guys had a plot from before. You came up with this. You did this to... You said the rule was قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. I followed the rule. He won. So now that Yemen didn't get crushed, and now that they're taking strides, then now this disgraceful government went over and put them on sanctions as well. But you know, brothers and sisters, unfortunately, it didn't stop with that. He did one act, which was, to me, just the cherry on the top. I mean, he put sanctions on the shrine of Imam Ridha. How do you put sanctions on an imam? Who are you? Do you really think you can stop us from making ziyarah? I mean, is that the rule? That if I go over there and I buy a bag of peanuts over there as I walk to the shrine, then what, you're going to arrest me? Like, what is it? How do you do that? This was a grave insult. It was an unforgivable sin. Globally, the Muslims should be furious. They should come to the defense of Imam Ridha. The sanctity of Islam. So you might ask, well, okay, well, Trump did that and he's gone. Why mention it now? Well, because you and I, we have a responsibility to tell the Biden administration to undo this. This isn't okay.
The litmus test for the Biden administration is undoing the wrong. It's not bygones be bygones. It's not water under the bridge. The insult wasn't corrected. You don't get to do that. This has to be lifted. It's not tolerable. It's not okay. Now, for us, and I'm sure us as the Hadi family, we feel this way, that for us, pretty much, Biden is Muawiyah and Trump was Yazid. We're not really expecting too much from this individual because he showed us his true colors. He lifted the Muslim ban, alhamdulillah, he lifted the Muslim ban, but then he recognized Quds, Jerusalem, as the capital of occupied Palestine. You don't get to do that. That's not okay. To us, Trump was a tyrant. You're a tyrant. Mutawakkil. He would raise the shrines of Imam Hussein. That's what Trump did. Are you a tyrant like him? Now, also something that I should make clear is that if he does lift the sanctions, which I doubt, but it's our responsibility to tell him. If he does lift the sanctions, it doesn't mean that he did us a favor. That can't be the take of us as believers. That he lifted the sanctions, so now we as mu'mineen, we say Biden is Mukhtar Thaqafi. No. These are our rights. You see, this is something we have to fix. When you're used to being a second-class citizen and taking it, and being a chump, then you're begging for your basic rights. And if somebody gives you your God-given rights, then you're grateful, you're thankful. No, it's not like that. There's some films that it's infuriating even to watch. Right? But I just want to talk about, meaning for us as Muslims to learn, فَاتَبِرُوا. Make sure we change this. Before the civil rights movement here in America, you've seen how the African Americans were treated. And I watched some of those films. And those people are asking for their God-given rights, just to be treated as human beings. They're out there in their church clothes, and they put the dogs on them, they're beating them upside the head. But you know what I find infuriating? When those people are speaking respectfully to those who don't even treat them like a human being, still calling them Mr., Sir, Ma'am, and the other person is treating them disgracefully. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm not a second-class citizen. You don't get to talk down to me. The thing is, they're so used to the oppressed shuffling their feet and just hoping for crumbs that someone like Biden might think, if you and I don't make it very clear to him, that I'm doing you a favor. Now, you're not doing me a favor. You're doing your job. You don't get to sanction our marja. You don't get to sanction Imam Ridha. That's not okay. So it's just, we have to make this clear. We are believers. We live with karama. And part of our karama is that we're free and allowed to practice our religion, which is a God-given right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us karama. And that's not something that we'll compromise on. And we will demand it. As citizens of this country, then no, take those illegal, immoral sanctions back. Now, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So what I'd like to talk about next is a very important akhlaqi trait. Something that is mentioned by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam themselves. Mentioned in the ayat of Quran. Mentioned by the students of the Ahlul Bayt, the Urafa. The advice that they would give to their students. And something that you and I need desperately, but again, as I said, it's not just something that you and I can keep in our own hearts of hearts or even just practice it ourselves. It's a culture that we have to create within our homes. Our children have to learn how to interact properly with other people. This culture of the Ahlul Bayt. What do I want to share? It's a little bit about the miracle that we find in expressing our gratitude to others. Expressing our gratitude to others. What a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, how effective is it? What does it do? Making sure that we're people who express our shukr. Now, by the way, because I'm going to be talking about this and I'm going to be trying to mention at least some of the dimensions of this, some of the teachings of the Urf, the spiritual dimension of doing this. What happens if we don't do this? Right? And I have to put a lot of emphasis on that. But it doesn't mean that you and I, as believers who are interacting either with our parents or our spouses or our children or our co-workers or other mu'mineen and mu'minat or people on the outside world, that we expect thanks from people. Right? This is something else. There's something that we want to talk about, which is definitely when someone else does me a favor, then I appreciate it, I notice it, I see it. But it doesn't mean that as a believer, whenever I do something, look at the beauty of Islam. Imagine a world, imagine a family, a nation, people who, whenever someone did the slightest thing for them, they notice it. They appreciate it. They thank the person. They go out of their way. They see the blessing. What you did for me was a big thing. But then the same person interacts with ikhlas with other people. Yes, it's the responsibility of everyone to do their part, thanking, appreciating, noticing. That's something else. But do I expect it? Now, by the way, the Urafa tell us that not expecting getting to that stage, I'm going to share a story of Ahlul Bayt. That's something that comes gradually. Inshallah, we can work on our muraqabah, our muhasabah, to gradually, slowly get to the stage to be like that. It's not something that comes easily. The example, brothers and sisters, of what I want to give you, meaning this part of it, before we get to the miracle of expressing our gratitude for others, the example for us, of course, is Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam. That beautiful verse that was recited, the story that was shared in that verse, so important for us. The story is this, that our imams, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, fell sick. They fell ill. The Prophet ﷺ suggested that Amirul Mu'mineen make a nadr. The financial circumstances of the Ahlul Bayt were such, they were going to fast for some days. They didn't even have the food to break their fast. They said Amirul Mu'mineen borrowed barley from someone so they could break. So it's not that the Ahlul Bayt were in this very luxurious situation. And then what happened was they said, we're going to fast for 3 days consecutively. Inshallah, they get better. They fast for the first day, and just when they're about to break their fast with that humble meal, then someone comes to the door. He says that, may Allah reward you, jazakumullah khairan. And they prefer that person to themselves and break their fast with water and go to bed hungry. Next day, we promise we'll fast 3 days. We fast again. When we fast again, because you have to fulfill, once you make the nadr, so they fast again. This time when they fast, about to break the fast, and this time another poor person in need, please. They prefer that person over themselves. Finally, the third day, they said when the Prophet saw them, that basically Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were trembling from hunger, he felt bad. They said, Lady Fatima, salamu alayha, Her face was gaunt. He was looking at her in the mihrab. And because of that, he's looking at this kind of suffering. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse that shows the sincerity of Ahlul Bayt and the direction we're trying to work to. The Ahlul Bayt said this, the verse says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We only fed you for Allah's sake. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any reward. We don't want jaza. We don't want thanks. That's a stage that inshallah we can move towards that direction. That's where we're trying to go. I'm not waiting. If you don't thank me, I'm looking over my shoulder. Why are you? Right? With ikhlas. But at the same time, the flip side is I notice and I appreciate. So how serious is this? What happens, let's say, if we haven't developed this? So remember I said that for our children, if we don't develop this as a culture, we're stopping them from experiencing God's best. Maybe this will be the relationship killer that sinks the ship. If they develop this trait, they'll be able to navigate through rocky waters. I'm going to read the hadith of the imam. But how serious is this? It's one of those verses that's a little bit scary, but inshallah, bear with me. Right? It's Surah Ibrahim, where Allah says in the Quran, Surah 14, verse number 7, God says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ. When your Lord announced, he proclaimed, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ. If you are grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. I will increase you. وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ. What about if I'm ungrateful? إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. My punishment is very painful. So let's say I'm a Muslim. I'm staying in the house, let's say, with my parents. But I don't see my parents. I don't see this blessing of being in a Muslim household, because this is a good thing for our families to stay together, for us to be able to get our children to the next level. The next generation of Muslims is financially stronger, in a better position as far as education, right? But let's say I don't see that. I just see my parents as a footstool. I forget about everything. They're annoying. I don't appreciate. Inna adhabi lashadid. How serious is it? Hadith from Rasulullah. Salawat, please. On the day of judgment, we're told, because what happens is, we're going to see this from the hadith, God sees thanking other people, the means of me receiving blessings, as thanking him. And those who fail to do that are ingrates. On the day of judgment, a slave will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that person will be ordered to go to the fire. This person is going to go to hell. The person who is ordered to go to the fire will protest. It says this in the hadith. Fayaqul. He doesn't just, okay, well, I'm just going to get dragged in the fire. He says, Ey Rab, amarta bi ila an-nar wa qad qara'ta al-Qur'an. You've ordered me to go to the fire, but I was somebody who used to recite Quran. God will say, yes, you're going to go to the fire. You didn't thank me for the blessings you used to receive. The hadith tells us a conversation will take place on that day of judgment. The person will say, but God, I did thank you. And then he'll start to enumerate the blessings. Oh Allah, you gave me this blessing, and I thank you for that. You gave me this blessing, and I thank you for that. This person's fighting for their life. I don't want to go to Jahannam. I thank you. I noticed you gave me this, you gave me that. Alhamdulillah, I was thanking you for all of those things. God will say, actually, you're telling the truth. That's true. But I don't consider you to have thanked me unless you thank the means of you receiving my blessing.
And I have promised, I have sworn by myself not to accept the gratitude of anybody who doesn't thank the means. So this is very serious. That's why we find in our hadith that if we want to kind of figure out, am I shakir? Am I grateful? The hadith says this, ashkarukum lillah, ashkarukum linnas. The most grateful of you to God, I want to see, is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala good? That person is the person who's most grateful to people. I notice every blessing that I've received from everybody. I thank, I appreciate, I see. It's not ordinary for me. It doesn't become ordinary. Imagine how this would work in a family. Let's say a husband and wife have gotten married, but in the beginning, they're very grateful, alhamdulillah, but then after a while, they start forgetting that I'm receiving blessings from Allah. So if my wife is cooking for me, that's not a blessing. If my husband is working, he better. The culture hasn't been created to, God is taking care of me through this person. The other way of a person going on, and every single blessing that I'm receiving through all of the individuals who I'm interacting with, I appreciate, I notice, it's a big deal. Jazakallah khaira. Imagine what a world we would have. So, you noticed one person, like this was something that I noticed in Iran, the leader was always thanking the Iranian nation, always appreciating. Jazakumullah khaira. You are the best. To the extent that recently, after the martyrdom of, the one-year anniversary of the martyrdom of Shahid Qasim Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandas, not only was he thanking them, he was also thanking the Iraqis. He was like, in such and such city, this happened, jazakallah. Noticing the blessings. This is part of my relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question, how does this help relationships? How does this keep families together? How does this help siblings? How does this help co-workers? How does it help husband and wife? One of the things that happens, let's start with the family. In a marriage, one of the things that happens after a marriage is that our spouse is concerned about the place that we hold or they hold in our hearts. Why do we have to teach our children this? By the way, one of the things that you and I have to do is before our children get married, we have to have them become emotionally mature so they can handle relationship. We have to teach them this. How do you stay married? We have to teach that. Where do they learn that? Before they get married. So one of the concerns that a spouse has from one another is, how's our relationship going? Are we moving in the right direction? Are we good? Maybe not, yes, no, right? And what scholars tell us is that for sisters, this is even more of a concern than the brothers. Doesn't mean it's not on the minds of the brothers, but make sure, meaning we're training our young men to be able to have successful relationships, that they know that this is a concern. Are we moving in the right direction? How do I keep the family stable? Which means the children grow up in that household of iman. Because we mentioned this before. In order for us to grow our iman, you and I are trying to raise the soldiers of the Mahdi. In order for us to grow our iman, we need to be in a stable, tranquil environment. We learned this from ayat of the Quran. How do I create that stable, tranquil environment? This is what the imam says. So what happens is, if we can express our gratitude, our spouses, for instance, in this example, they know how we feel about them. They know the place that they occupy in our hearts. It gives them confidence in the relationship. We're moving in the right direction. Look at the hadith. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, "Ash-shukru tarjumanu niyya wa lisanu tawiyya." When we express our gratitude, we notice the small things. None of the blessings become ordinary for us. This actually, it lets them know our true intentions. It lets them know how good we're going. It's the lisan, it's the tongue of the inside. So in this way, what we do is we keep our families stable. We keep them moving in the right direction. Even a good family, right? Let's say my coworker and I have a very good relationship. We're tight, we're good. Is there any way of kind of making this relationship go further? One of the things the Imam teaches us is that if we notice the acts of kindness of all of those we're interacting with, my children are good. How do I keep them moving? Alhamdulillah, I have a good family. My family's not on the verge of breaking down, because I'm going to mention the hadith about those families that are struggling. Things are going well. The Imam says this, Amirul Mu'mineen, shukruka lirravi ank. When you express your gratitude to the person who's pleased with you, yaziduhu rivan wa wafa'a. This increases that person in loyalty and happiness with you. What about those relationships that are going through rocky parts, difficulties? Right? We have to teach these skills before we experience these things. It's not the case that every sort of relationship, two siblings with one another, is always as it should be. A husband and wife, sometimes they go through rocky patches. One of the things that keeps marriages going is when the person still keeps that view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What blessings am I receiving from Allah, from my spouse, from Allah through my spouse? If the person is unhappy, but they're doing their responsibilities, and I notice, and I see it, and it's a blessing, and I mention it, this helps marriages survive. The hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen says, shukruka lisakhit alayk. So when you're expressing your gratitude to the person who's angry with you, that you have a problem, things are not going well, he says, yujibu laka minhu salahan. This actually creates that harmony. It brings people back together. It creates closeness, expressing that love. Now, what about the spiritual dimension of this? Because what happens is you and I, we want to be going on that spiritual journey, journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This point that I want to share from you is from the teacher of Ayatollah Tahriri, right? Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar. The teacher of Ayatollah Tahriri, when he would talk to his spiritual students, one of the things he used to mention, I'll give you the example from the family. He said that, let's say your wife cooks you a meal, and it might not be the greatest. He was like, make sure you thank her. He said, even if the food is salty, even if the food wasn't cooked, make sure you praise the food. Why? He says, when you are the kind of person who notices God's kindness to you through your spouse, that happiness that they experience, because all of us, we know, we like being appreciated, the happiness of others helps you in your spiritual journey. You advance. So appreciating helps us in the spiritual path. So remember, brothers and sisters, that our family members, they have more rights over us than anyone else. So when we talk about the rights of our just regular mu'mineen, which is very important, mu'mineen, mu'minat, the rights they have over us, but what rights does my spouse have over me, even more than a regular mu'min? My sibling, more than a regular mu'min. So what happens is sometimes we're our worst enemy. Right? We stop ourselves from experiencing God's best. The verse that I shared with you when I talked about the importance of this, it says, La in shakartum la azidannakum, right? If you're grateful, I will increase you, not your ni'mah. Your capacity to receive Allah's blessings will increase. And some people stop themselves from experiencing God's best. I heard a story, inshallah, it's not true. They said once there was this elderly couple. These guys were 85 years old, and they had lived a really good life, but they never had a lot of money. Unfortunately, these guys never had a lot of money. But the reason for them living so long was the wife would insist that they had healthy bran muffins. And so what happened was, even though they lived so long, they were finally able to save their pennies, and they went on vacation, and then their plane crashed. But because they were good people, they got taken to paradise. And the angel welcomed them into paradise. He said, Ahlan wa sahlan, come into paradise. come into paradise, looking around, they see this huge house. The angel says, welcome, this is your house. The old man said, how much does this cost? The angel says, it's paradise. Huh? They go inside the house, they see their favorite clothes. They look out the window, they see this huge golf course. The old man said to the angel, how much does it cost to play on the golf course? They start looking, oh, food, every kind of food you can imagine. Then the old man, he said, well, where's the low calf, the low calorie thing? You can eat as much as you want. You never get sick. No heart of paradise. The old man was so angry. He turned to his wife. He said, you and your bran muffins, we could have been here 10 years ago. Sometimes we stop ourselves from experiencing God's best. We could be experiencing God's best right here. I want to end, inshallah, we started with the defense of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. I want to end with a beautiful story from the Imam where he's teaching us what God is trying to tell us in the Quran. God says, I will increase you, not your ni'mah. Your capacity for receiving Allah's blessings will increase. God, look at this dua that we read in the month of Ramadan. Because what I want to share with you is feeling blessed, remembering Allah's blessing, seeing the good of the person. It doesn't mean you can't ask for more. Allah likes it when you keep asking and insisting. Right? Imam Baqir tells us this. He says, never think that something that you want is too much for God. Some people, they're afraid to ask God for something big. God, if you just give me a 5-cent raise, you know. It doesn't matter to God. Like what we learn from the hadith is the dua. It says, La taziduhu kathratul ata. When God gives, it doesn't harm God. It doesn't take anything away from God. Beg God. He says, Illa judan wa karama. It only increases God in generosity. The Imam says in the hadith, he says, never think that what you want from God is too much. That's not. That's nothing for God. And don't think anything of your needs are too tiny. I shouldn't even bother God with this. He says, فَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْأَلُهُمْ. God, whoever asks him the most, whoever is begging God, insisting, pleading, even though I feel blessed, even though I'm happy, even though I notice I'm surrounded by blessings, but God loves the believer to beg and insist. So what happens is, this man, he came into the presence of the 8th Imam. And when he came into the presence of the 8th Imam, he was complaining about his financial situation. He said that I'm struggling, I'm going through difficulties, my family, we don't have. And the Imam was sitting, and the Imam had a tray full of grapes. The Imam didn't say anything when he was explaining his situation. It's bad, it's terrible. The Imam reached down, and he gave him a bunch of grapes. And the guy looked back at the Imam. He said, I'm going through financial difficulty. We don't have food to eat. You're giving me grapes. He put the grapes down. A few moments later, somebody else came in. When the new guy came in, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, the Imam gave him one grape. The guy was like, jazakum Allah khaira, thank you, I appreciate it. I just came to see you, I just missed you. But the grape, alhamdulillah, he said, what I'm going to do with this grape, I'm going to go back, I'm going to squeeze the grape into some water, the whole family will drink, and this will be the grape from Imam Ridha, we'll all have tabarruk from this one grape. The Imam then gave him a bunch of grapes. The guy was now overwhelmed. He said, I'm embarrassed. I just came to see you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. You're so kareem. The Imam gave him the tray of grapes. Now the guy said, I'm at a loss for words. The Imam told his staff, he said, bring me a letter, a paper. They brought him the paper. He wrote that garden from which these grapes were grown is for this young man.
The man was like, I have no words. I just came here to see you. The imam said, the land that surrounds that garden is also for this man. At this stage, the other guy who was watching, the guy who had put his grapes back down, he was so angry. He stood up, he told Imam Rida, he said that guy just came, he missed you. He said I was in need. I explained to you my difficulties. The Imam added one more line to his letter. He said, La in shakartum la azidannakum wa la in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid. So gratitude increases our capacity. It doesn't mean that we're going to stay where we are, but seeing ourselves as blessed, it's helpful for our spiritual journey. May Allah accept what was said and heard in His way. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.